Welcome to Suala Nyeti, the law podcast that pairs a layman and a lawyer to answer your legal questions of the day. Suala Nyeti is sponsored by the law firm of Kigwada & Company Advocates and is intended for educational purposes only.
Welcome to Suala Nyeti. I am the lawyer, a.k.a. Wakili Harry Karanga.
And I am the layman, Gashaw Patrick Wakili. How are you?
I'm very well. And yourself?
Fine, thank you. I'm just over here following the results of the American elections. Go ahead.
I mean, what's so interesting about American elections? We're in Kenya, Gashao.
It's funny you ask that. Do you remember that time in 1997 when Moi was re-elected as president and he wasn't appointing a vice president? And people were agitated about it. And one day he went to this place, I don't remember where, and he met villagers. And he asked them, hey, you want a vice president? Yeah. Kwani itaongeza sufuria as a guy. Okay, if that is the case, then I appoint Saitoti. This election will ongeza sufuria as a ugali kwa nyuma yangu.
Well, I hope it has some positive effect. But let's talk about something which is close at home. What do you have for us today?
So, Wakili, you wouldn't believe it, but on Monday, Twitter again went on fire because of this controversial blogger known as Edgar Obare, who claims he was kidnapped by policemen. And I will play for you a short audio, and we will discuss the issues therein. Are you ready, Wakili?
Go ahead.
He had a court date, of course, yesterday on November 2nd. And well, he arrived at the court around 10 a.m. and going to greet his lawyer, who was somewhere outside eating smokies. Three plain-dressed men approached him and asked him whom he was or his names before they quickly whisked him into a car which was waiting nearby. And later on, Edgar Obare demanded to know whom these guys were and why they had arrested him, but they could not answer him. Instead, these guys kept asking him some silly questions, according to him, you know, concerning him breaking families and why he can't find a proper job to do. And also, he revealed that they asked him at one point what they can do to him to make him stop this work of breaking families, bro. You can imagine. And he continued to narrate that at one point, these guys stripped him naked and started taking pictures of him, bro. You can imagine. They were taking photos of him naked. And after all this, that is when Edgar Obare was dumped into thorny bushes, still tied up along the road to check up at Nyeri, and he had to hustle for a lift while covering his body with a polythene bag. And later on, he got a good Samaritan who took him to his place, you know, offered him some snacks, he showered and stuff, and he helped him find a taxi to get back to Nairobi, bro.
I stopped it there. Did you hear it, Wakil?
Yeah, so okay. So if I heard correctly, Edgar Obare was taken by some unknown people when he was about to attend a court hearing, and they stripped him. It sounds like they tortured him and then they left him in a bush.
Correct. And the biggest allegation is that these people are policemen.
I see.
How? What are my rights? Is it possible for me to be arrested if these were policemen at any notice?
Okay, I hear you. I think the question of arrest here might not arise because according to the reports and what you've just said, these people are unknown. So it's not clear whether they were police officers or other people. But assuming that these were police officers and they did take him into custody, there are, of course, constitutional rights which protect people in instances of arrest. And these rights are covered under the Constitution. So without getting too much into the weeds when it comes to constitutional rights, every person is guaranteed the right of freedom and liberty. So no one can just deprive you of that freedom arbitrarily. This is why there is a process when it comes to arresting people.
And I know you spoke about a process, but what are my rights as a person?
Have you started blogging, Gashao? Is there something we should be worried about?
I need to know what my rights are before I am taken in by a vehicle with a known man.
Okay, I think so far we have strayed on non-controversial ground. But look, When it comes to your rights, as I said before, you have a constitutional right not to be arrested arbitrarily. But if you are arrested, there are certain things that must happen. Number one, if you are arrested, you must be produced in court within 24 hours or the next business day. And that's why there's always a big hullabaloo about people being arrested on a Friday, because the next business day is a Monday. So you're arrested on a Friday. You know, legally and constitutionally, the police can wait until Monday to produce you in court. But that's one requirement, that if you're arrested, and if this person was, you said the case was on Monday, then on Tuesday morning, he should have been produced in court at the latest. The other thing, of course, is that you have a right to be told what it is that you're being arrested for. No one can just come and capture you and take you away without telling you the reason that you are being arrested. And of course, you have to be arrested for an offense that is provided in law. Otherwise, I don't know if breaking up families is an offense. I've never heard of such an offense. So it's not something that someone can arrest you for if there's no offense known in law as breaking up families. And of course, even after you are arrested, just because you are an accused person or a suspect in a crime does not allow the people who are arresting you to subject you to inhuman treatment. So you have rights of dignity as a person. No one can just come arrest you and then subject you to degrading treatment, stripping you, taking photos of you while you're naked. All that is inhuman and degrading. And of course, even after you have been arrested, and as I said, you've been produced in court, you have the right to fair trial. Okay. So again, no person should be condemned and hung. And you know, this is a right going back all the way to biblical times. You have to have an opportunity to be hung. And to be fairly heard. And there are so many things with respect to the right of fair trial. And trial begins from the point you have been accused, if there's an identification parade, there are certain processes that must be followed, to how the charge sheet must be drawn up, to how the prosecutor must introduce your case in court, to the processes followed, to the fact that you need to be able to get witness statements, to know any evidence against you. So there are so many things with respect to the right of a fair trial that an accused person, an arrested person, has constitutional rights for. Of course, in this case, from what I've heard, no charge was preferred in court, and it's not clear even if these people who arrested him were actually police officers to begin with. That doesn't mean that his rights were not violated. If it is true what he says, if it's true that he was taken into custody by unknown persons and, you know, treated in this manner, degrading, inhuman manner, then yeah, his rights were violated.
And what options does he have as a person now? Can these people be arrested? And if they're policemen, what can be done to them?
Okay, so maybe first we look at a situation whereby had he not been released, what would happen? Because it's very scary to think that people can just pick you and take you to an unknown place and nobody knows anything about it. Okay, so the law provides a way in which you can ask the police to produce an arrested person. So that's the first thing, because assuming if he had not been released, how are you even going to start talking about his rights and you don't know where he is? So it's a provision which goes back all the way, and that, of course, it has a Latin term. It's called habeas corpus.
Let me tell you what it means. Say that again.
Habeas corpus.
I think corpus has something to do with the body. Habeas. I don't know what it means.
So essentially, it refers to bring the body or produce the body. Okay? So you are correct. Corpus does refer to body. And in the event that someone is taken by, if someone is suspected to have been arrested by police and has not been produced within 24 hours, then you can approach the court, a constitutional court, with an application for an order of habeas corpus, meaning that you will be asking the Inspector General of Police to have that person produced in court, or in the alternative, to have his body, in the event that he has been killed, to have his body produced in court.
This, so, just to cut you short, this habeas corpus, Kenya did not know Latin those days for detainment without trial, no? Is it possible that the police would have been asked to produce somebody those days?
Well, the law has existed even before the 2010 constitution. It's been there in our law books, and it's been used in very many prominent cases during the Nyayo era. Not only successfully, but the law did exist.
So, let's say we know, let's assume they are policemen and they are identified, because now we don't know who it was. If that were the case, can I take them to court and have them arrested?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. So, first you have to understand, when you make an application under habeas corpus, okay, assuming that, first of all, Edgar Obare was still missing, okay? You have to understand that this is not a criminal process. The court, even when it determines, yes, there is reasonable suspicion that this person had been taken by police, the court is not assigning criminal liability to the police. They are only making a determination as to, on a balance of probability, is this likely that the police have this person in their custody? So if, even if you succeed in that application, does not mean that now someone is going to be jailed or not. The process of criminal trial is a separate process.
Is it a tort then? Does that mean it's a tort?
Well, it's not a tort, okay? And not everything which is not a crime is a tort. You know, you have so many other areas of law which are not crimes. You know, issues of family law, you have issues of contracts law. So this is a...
Yeah, I was trying to sound educated, and now you're just rubbishing.
You are right in the sense that it's under a civil process similar to tort. So even when it comes to a civil process, one of the most important things is the standard of proof is not beyond reasonable doubt. It's usually just on a balance of probability, one thing more likely than the other. And like in a criminal trial, whereby you have to prove beyond reasonable doubt. But that said and done, the court could order that the police investigate those circumstances, okay, that led to the disappearance or led to the alleged abduction of this man. So that's the court could do. But whether the people will be prosecuted or not, remember that the DPP, the Director of Public Prosecutions, is the only person who has that authority to institute criminal prosecution. Well, there is a however, but there's also a concept
of private... How did I forget? How did I forget?
Yeah, well, you could also, as a private individual, start a prosecution process, but only if the DPP has failed in their constitutional responsibility. But what cannot happen is that the court cannot order the DPP start a prosecution. It can tell the police to investigate. The DPP will receive the file from the police and make a decision whether to prosecute or not to prosecute. So whether anyone is going to jail or not, still there are so many steps that need to be followed. But there is something that the Constitutional Court can do if it finds that someone's rights have been violated. And what it can do is that it can order for the police to compensate this person whose rights were violated.
And Kenyan police?
Yes. The National Police Service. So, and this compensation is money. So they can actually get money compensation.
I think that is the best shot Obare has here. But the people who are supposed to pay that money, that is a story for another day.
If he can prove on a balance of probability that he was abducted by police, and his constitutional rights were violated, then he can approach court for an order that he be compensated for the violation of those rights.
And that compensation should cover any harm that was caused as well, because he's saying he was injured. There you have it. Wakili, I must tell you, I was very interested in this case because today's Edgar, tomorrow it could be me or anyone else. Therefore, I'm glad that you tackled it very well. In any case, if you ever find yourself in such a situation, you can still go to court. The constitution is on your side. You can get an order that can start the prosecution. And I hope it's not true, but if it were true and these were policemen, then I think Edgar has a way of dealing with it. Other than that, thank you very much, Wakili. I think you did a good job. Splendid is a word, a new Latin word, as usual. That is something I like a lot. And from us, on behalf of Swalanyeti, see you on Friday for a new episode. Have yourself a lovely day. Goodbye.
Bye.
You have been listening to Swalanyeti. Special thanks to our layman, Gashal Patrick, and our lawyer, Harry Karanja. If you have a legal question that you want answered, send us a WhatsApp message on 07 08 111 222 or email us at admin@swalanyeti.org. You can find downloads to all our podcast episodes on our website www.swalanyeti.org.